How will you keep Jesus first in your life? Would you say that? How will you keep Jesus first in your life? I was working on a message for a few days about worship, and I wanted to, because we're talking about life-giving practices. Last week, we dealt with the power, you know, forgiveness, the nature of God. Before that, we were talking about communing with the Lord, His desire to commune with us and to open His Word and to encounter Him there, and how His words are life-giving to us. And so we've been in this time of looking at life-giving practices. Last night, I looked at all my notes and stuff, and it was just dead. Oh, my God, it was just dead. I wasn't even interested in it. Have you ever had a time where you lose all interest? And I said, well, I'm going to go to bed early and get up early, see what happens. So I got up this morning, and I just prayed in the Spirit for, I don't know, 45 minutes or so. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, it's got to be interesting to me. It won't be interesting to them, you know. And the Lord dropped in my spirit a whole different, it's using a lot of the same scriptures, but a whole different focus. It's like a warning, like a warning. So I want you to kind of like ring the bell for kind of a warning to our hearts and really ask this question, how will you keep Jesus first in your life? Say that to your own soul. How am I going to be doing this? How am I going to keep Jesus first? Distractions abound. All kinds of things abound. Isn't that right? And it's easy to get off. So 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. What's going on right before this is Paul is recounting the whole story of Moses having come down off of Mount Sinai. And Moses, his face was really shining because he had been in the presence of God. And he had a veil over his face. And the veil over his face, now get this. First it started off that because people couldn't look at his face. But the more he was down off of the mountain, the glow began to subside. And it came to where he'd put the veil on so they couldn't see that the veil, that the glory was subsiding. And he makes this comment in here about if the glory is subsiding on the covenant, if there was a glory in the covenant of the Old Testament, which really doesn't produce life in the way that the covenant with Jesus does. He says, now we come with unveiled face and we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And then there's this interesting statement that says that you and I are transformed into the likeness of the Lord from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. Go ahead and tell someone next to you, I'm in a degree of glory right now. I'm in a degree of glory right now. Hey, but I'm not staying here. I'm not staying here. I'm going to go on to a new degree of glory. I got to tell you this. Well, I'm just going to flow with whatever pops in my head. Is that right? Thursday night. That sounds so kooky, doesn't it? Like a comedian. Hey, Thursday night. Not Thursday, but the one before. We had this prayer time here, and we prayed in the Spirit for quite a while, and then in a kind of a high praise, you know, just. There was an unction on me just to literally almost shout for almost a half an hour. That's not me. We're, glory to God, you know, just yelling, you know, and lifting up. Then my wife, Pastor Heather, came down and she said, well, let's just turn in intimate, seek the Lord with intimacy and pray in the Spirit that way. And the moment she started praying that way, I felt, I think I was standing right here. And I suddenly, this anointing of God, this powerful thing. And I thought, I was like this. Whoa, that's not normal for me. It was like, whoa, okay, all right. And I touched somebody else and it went on them. Whoa. They were like, whoa, man, these guys, we got tanked up here. We got some, you know, sort of like that Acts chapter 2 says, these men are not drunk as you suppose. You know, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit and the sons and daughters will prophesy and the young men will see. And it's like this work of the Spirit came. It comes on me, and then the Lord says, this is your first prayer meeting of the year, and I'm showing you the kind of thing I want to release in the year. The goodness, my goodness, I'm going to release into the year. And then he said, then he showed me, he says, this intimacy that I'm calling you into will take the stress that you've had in the last season of your life, and it's going to take the stress out of your body. When you stood there for me and withstood whatever you were involved in for my glory or whatever thing has happened, he says, I'm going to put this on you and take the stress out of you. Whew. Isn't that wonderful? God is so good. Just talking about it, just kind of, you relive those things of the Spirit of God. And the Lord is saying, how are you going to keep me first this year? How are you going to keep me first this year? I want you to look at me. I want you to behold my glory. I want you to be transformed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. This is the work of the Spirit of the Lord. In the Amplified Version, it says it like this: all we with unveiled face continually seeing as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into His image from one degree of glory to even more glory. Tell somebody next to you, even more glory is coming. Which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So what will you do to continually behold Him so that you are transformed into His image from glory to glory? I'm going to be probing a little bit. I want you to see 1 John 3:2 says this. I want you to get this theology from the Word of God. It says this: beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. God's purpose is to populate heaven with people who have become like Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29 says it this way: for those who He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And then here's another verse that points, and it says, Ephesians 5:1-2 says, therefore, just read this one with me. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. See, He's saying, look, you're going to become like Him, so go ahead and imitate Him now. I'm giving you access to heaven, and I want access to earth through you. And I want my Son to be expressed through your life. What are you going to do to put Jesus first this year? What's the thing you're going to do to keep Him first this year? By the way, this last verse here on this part says, 1 Corinthians 15:49. Look at this. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. How many of you are tired of the old dusty one? You're going to be transformed. And this whole concept of looking to the Lord and being transformed. Be careful what you look at. Be careful what your eyes are always gazing upon. I was going to name it, what you looking at? What you looking at? What you looking at, right? Because what you're looking at and what you meditate on has a big deal to do with the shaping of your life and the things that you gaze at. Lot pitched his tents towards Sodom. His heart, Abraham and Lot were dividing the land. He went toward the world. What you looking at? And then remember Lot's wife when they were being rescued out of there. She had the desire to turn back and look back in the world. She turned into a pillar of salt. And Jesus reminds us of that in the New Testament. So what you looking at? Where's your hope? Where's your desire? Just go ahead and tell your own heart, Jesus is my hope and desire. I'm going to keep looking to the Lord. I'm going to keep looking to the Lord. And by the way, today can be a shackle-breaking day. It can be a day where you just, something's in your way, and God says, I'll dissolve it for you. I'll take out the stress that thing's worn you out. I'll take it away from you. I'll cause you to be better because I have a better covenant for you. I have more things for you. How will you keep Jesus first in your life? Matthew 6:33. Everybody read this one. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek him first. Seek kingdom. Kingdom. It's the king of the king who has dominion. The kingdom of God is basically a person in charge. It's Jesus Christ. He comes first as the Savior and Redeemer of mankind. Then he stands as the teacher and example of what we're to become. Then he becomes the judge and ruler over eternity of your soul. So it all is beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It's all about Jesus. So don't let the world say, here's my question. What are you going to do to keep Jesus first in your life? What is your plan to walk with the Lord and honor him? What will be your daily practice? Everybody say daily practice. What am I going to do on a daily basis to have Jesus first in my life? What will be your weekly practice? And how will you keep Jesus at the forefront of your life? Years ago, Andre Crouch had a song, Always Remember Jesus, Jesus, always remember Jesus, Jesus, always keep him on your mind. What a powerful focus about what we're talking about. So here's my next question for you. Look up at the screen there. Are there needs in your life that you're trying to figure out on your own without bringing them before the Lord? Are there needs in your life that you're trying to figure out on your own without bringing them to the Lord? Elbow the next person and say, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Go ahead. Why are you doing that? Just go ahead and say, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Hey, go ahead and say, what are you, nuts? What are you, nuts? How many of you say, I've got to figure it all by myself, and you're stressing out, and you're stressing out, and you're stressing out. God says, why don't you come to me? Why don't you come to me? What are the concerns, the disappointments, or distraction in your life right now that fight to be more important to you than the Lord? There are things that come and say, I'm more important than you bringing it to God. You got to stress out all over me. What are those concerns? What are those disappointments? What are those distractions that come and want to argue? You get in front. You get to behold the Lord as in the mirror, looking into the Lord and the glory of the Lord, and you transform from glory. Remember that part? That was right at the front when we were talking, when we got into this. Is it right? Just lift your heads up. Behold the Lord in your own spirit. Just look at him high and lifted up on his throne. And just out of your own spirit, down in your gut, just say, thank you, Lord. I love you. I praise you. Praise you, Jesus. Stephen, when he was being stoned for preaching the gospel, he was standing there, and suddenly the heavens opened and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne. And he looked up and he saw him. And then he, seeing the Lord and seeing where he was going, he said, oh Lord, do not hold this sin to their account. As the rocks were killing him, he saw where he was going. Oh, what a heart that Jesus imparts to us. Oh, what a heart that Jesus imparts. In fact, he says this, Matthew 11, 28, 29 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I want to tell you something. The devil has a yoke for you. It's called an iron yoke, and it's over stressing out how to make life work on your own terms. And it will actually hurt you. Heather, can I share a little bit about when the Lord took the iron yoke off you? Years and years and years ago, when we were first being introduced to the greater work of Jesus, the Deliverer, the Lord revealed that there was an iron yoke on my wife's neck. And by the power of his grace, it was lifted off. It was so bad that she had to go to the chiropractor for a season to keep adjusting her neck, because it had been so weighted on her that when it came off, can you believe that? The burden of the devil can make you crooked, but the yoke of the Lord will make you straight. It will lift pressure off of you. It will cause you to have, even though it's a yoke of partnership. It's a yoke of agreement. It's a yoke of walking with the Lord. Him calling the shots. How will you keep Jesus first in your life? I think we're kind of in this place where I'm not truly thinking. In the Old Testament it says, have no other gods before me, the first of the Ten Commandments. And over here in the book of Revelation it says, return to your first love. Somewhere in the middle there. How many of you have been driving on the road and kind of nod off and hit those rumble strips? Aren't you glad for rumble strips? And then there's that guardrail in case you don't wake up. And you go, and the Lord wants to put some rumble strips down right now and say, I have a way for you to go, and I want you to be aware of when you're not where you're supposed to be. Something rumbles on the inside of you and gets you back on track. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord right now. In fact, this message is a rumble strip. The Lord's rumbling and says, look, wake up, guys. I want you to be, put your mind on me. Don't let the distractions and the concerns of this world into your life. You know what? Let me just say right now. Just because we have economic revival doesn't mean we'll have spiritual revival. There's things that are changing, but if this happened, listen to this. Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18 says, beware lest you say in your heart. This is after God is blessing the Israelites and they're in the promised land. He says, my power and might don't say in your heart, my power and my might have gotten me the wealth in this, gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is to this day. The Lord, I'm going to say, even blessings can become a major distraction in your life. Hey, it's so good, and you just a little nodding of the head, and evil comes on you like in midday. You know, there's a both sides of it. There's the stress of just the work of darkness and evil, and you're standing there and trying to sort that out and not turn to things in the world for comfort. And you get through that season, and the Lord says, "I'm going to bless your socks off for standing there." And then you get distracted by the good things. Isn't that something? Just go ahead and tell your own soul, "I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to look to Him and be His and be transformed." Man, let's praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, I got three people in the Old Testament, and this is one of the answers that I have, and it's simple. It says, to be an altar, go ahead, when you're filling the blanks here, how are you going to keep Jesus first? This is one of the answers. Ready? Be an altar builder. Be an altar builder. Abraham built altars and worshiped God. Abraham built altars and worshiped God. There are sometimes when the Lord calls you to go somewhere and do something, like he did Abraham. He had to leave his comfort zone and go to a new place. And Abraham had to leave some things behind. The Lord may be calling you to leave some things behind this year. He says, this is not going to be in your life this year. I'm going to leave that behind. There's a new place I'm taking you, and I want your destiny to be fulfilled in a new place. And when Abraham got to that place, what did he do? He built an altar and established the reality of what God was doing in his life. He built an altar. And this is a really interesting, because he's the father of faith. And what I'm bringing this to you, and I'll clarify just a little bit more in a minute, but here's the point. How do you keep Jesus first? There are going to be things that happen in your life that you'll need to build an altar. There's going to be things happening this year, and we have an altar here. I remember I was sitting right where you were, Josh, with my guitar in hand, and we were, it was an evening where we were praying, and I was playing my guitar, and a song came upon me. And the song basically was from the Lord, and the Lord had me looking at this altar. And as I was looking at the altar, the thoughts came to my heart, and he said this. He says, "Can you imagine how many people I've touched at this altar over the years?" Oh, and the atmosphere was pregnant with the power of his, of the awareness that God says, "I have used this place to change people's lives. Can you imagine how many? Can you imagine me doing this? This place is 120 years old. There's a lot of ministry in here for many, many years." And then the Lord said, "Will you help me do it again? Will you help me do it again?" And that's why we have altar ministry. That's why people can come down and kneel here and God will show up in their lives. You can just stand in front of this thing and God will do something for you. And there's some times where things will, when Abraham went off, you know, he shouldn't have, but because he didn't trust the Lord in a certain season, he went down to Egypt. When he came back, he built an altar to reestablish it at Bethel. And sometimes you got to come back to where God's called you to be. And when you come back to the place where you're supposed to be, you build an altar. How many of you got an off before? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We get off. We got off track sometimes. And the Lord says, I want you to learn the practice of building an altar. In fact, when he was even called, the blessing of the Lord came upon Abraham's life, and he gave him the son of promise. And then he got so caught up in the blessing of the relationship with his son that the Lord said, "Will you sacrifice even him because he's in the way of me?" He wasn't saying that, but it was also a picture of the Father God's heart where Jesus would come and die for us. It was a foreshadowing of the very gospel of Jesus Christ to come. Before, you know, that the Father wouldn't even spare his own son. And here Abraham was about to, you know, had put his son on the altar, and then there was a ram in the thicket, and the angel of the Lord says, "Stop, you know, we've provided the sacrifice." He learned the thing of building an altar. This is the next one, like Moses. Be passionate. How to walk in the Spirit, how to put Jesus first. Be passionate about God's presence. Be passionate about his presence. This is another big long story. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but here's the point. Moses was one of those people that started off realizing, "I'm the deliverer of Israel." And he did it on his own terms and got whacked really bad. And he ends up in the desert for 40 years because he knew he was supposed to do something that was going to bring honor to God, but he did it in his own strength. And I meet people to this day that started off with some kind of a ministry call, and they got out there and got whacked, so to speak, and there's a sense of brokenness, and they come, and the Lord wants to restore and re-equip, just like he did with Moses. He reached to him, and at the burning bush there, the bush wouldn't burn up, says, "Take off your sandals, this is holy ground." And then after he'd brought them out of the, you know, after going through the whole process of going through the Red Sea and coming upon the other side, there was this conversation that Moses was having with God about wanting to see his glory and wanting to know him better. And he ended up saying this, and it's all up here. I love this verse. It says, let's read this. Moses said that to God, says, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." If you want God in your life and keep Jesus first, Have a passion for the presence of God. Have a passion for the presence. Be passionate about the presence of God. And number three, put the Lord first in all the challenges of life. This goes along with the altar building. Put the Lord first. But this is a little different illustration here. There's this curious prayer that Solomon prays, and he asks God, because he says, "I do not have the wisdom to know. I'm but like a child. I don't know how to go out and come in. And there's a concept of going out and coming in. He says, "I want to know how to go out and come in." Well, what he's referring to is this. David had a heart for God in the house of God. And he would come in and it was the tabernacle of David. He knew how to come in. And here's the deal. When he would go out, when he would spend the time, when they would go out to battle, let's just say going out to battle, they would spend time in prayer. They come before the Lord in his presence. Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun and their sons would play on the instruments. And they would worship. Those are the fellows in the book of Psalms. And they would lift up praise to God. And they would gain strategy. And David would call out to the Lord to hear what he would say and how he would go about what he was doing. And when they're even on the run, he just had learned this. Always inquire of the Lord. Always inquire of the Lord. So he would go ahead and call out to the Lord, and then he would go out. Now here's the beauty about this. If they won in battle, when they came in, they gave God the glory. If they were losing in battle, they'd come in and they'd come and give God glory and ask him what to do. Are you getting it? When you prioritize the Lord and you put him first in facing the challenges of your life, whether you're winning or you're losing, you know how to go, come out and go in and put him first in your life. And this way, you'll be strong in him. How many have had a defeat and feel like, oh, God's not with me? No, let's grow up in our strength. Let's get tough. Let's go ahead and... Heather, if there's one thing that Heather and I have learned over the years, you got to get tough to walk with Jesus in the world because hell doesn't like you and a lot of people don't either. It's amazing how confused people get about just the beauty of who Jesus is. When it comes to how will we keep Jesus first in our life, there's another verse in Revelation. I didn't put this in your notes. You can jot this down. Revelation 3:15 and 16. I believe this is a part of this. First of all, how many of you have felt, even though we've enjoyed this, how many of you feel just a little bit of warning in your heart? A sense of, the Lord showed me this morning. He says, I want to release a warning into the heart of my people that I don't want them to get off and allow distractions and concerns and things to get you off and get you away from me. And this is the big verse. I know your works. This is Revelation. He's talking to the church of Laodicea. He says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Jesus is talking here. He says, would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. How many of you want to be lukewarm now, knowing that Jesus is going to spit you out of his mouth? This is an interesting thing. There's a prophetic word that's come forth that says the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon those on fire for him and the lost. But the lukewarm are not going to be blessed. So I'm just go ahead and throw the warning out there. I have one last verse, and it's John 14:15. Read this with me. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I want to ask John, would you stand right here? John, and you, John, you stand right here. On either side, I got two Johns. Okay. Now let's pretend. Now, in the King James Version, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." How many of you remember it that way? If you love me, keep my commandments. Now I just heard a wonderful Bible teacher talking about this. Here's what you're thinking here. If you love me, keep. In other words, to prove you love me, keep my commandments. That's the wrong interpretation. If you're going to prove your love to me, how many of you have read it that way before? If I keep his commandments, that's proof that I love him. And have anybody read it that way before? If you love me, keep his. Over here, here's what it really says. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Because my love in you is going to motivate you to do things way beyond your ability. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Let's go ahead and sit down, guys. Thank you, guys. So how will you keep Jesus first in your life? Go ahead and say, I'm going to love him. I'm going to look to him. I'm going to look to him. I'm going to behold him. I'm going to spend time. And for you, your life-giving practices, that boils down to some daily things. That boils down to some weekly things. I've noticed this in my own soul and people that I think it's very important to actually show up where God's presence is and the breath of the Lord pours into your heart. Today, it's more of a convenience thing. People don't go to church just because they don't think they need it or whatever reasons. They'll just come hit and miss or whatever. And the Bible says different things about that. It says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. There's something about losing the traction of your spirit and losing the traction of your life. And things begin to come down and cave in upon you when you're not in His presence together with His people. But there's something about being in His presence with His people, and there's attraction that begins to happen, and there's a forward momentum. And the Lord has things to impart and deliver into your hands and give to you and cause His grace to be empowered in your life. Isn't it true? How many of you showing up in the presence of the Lord's done profound things for you? How many of you have the same testimony that when you're not in His presence, it's not happening? And here you are, and God says, I'm going to impart to you the thing you have need of. And when we seek the Lord and say, I want to be corrected, I want to be changed, how many are getting something out of it? I want to be one who builds altars and not be chased away with distractions. I want to have a passion for His presence in my life. And I want to put Him first no matter what challenge I'm going through. Let's go ahead and stand together for a minute here. Those who are going to pray on the prayer line, come on down. This is one of those, this is what I want to invite you to do. I want to invite you to build an altar. You can come to the altar and build, you know, just stand there before, sit or kneel before the Lord. Or you can come and stand before someone. But here's the point. This is the point. What in your life is in the way of Jesus being first? Now, could it get any clearer than that? What in your life? I do have a sense that sometimes in the prayer circle, the prayer ministry, things lift off. But maybe the Lord is probing for just a little deeper thing. And He's saying, look, I want you to truly put me first in your life. And what's that going to look like? I feel like the Lord is saying in my heart, I'm going to break discouragement from your soul. There's things that discourage. There's things that get in the way, that seek to distract, that cause you to want to give up. How many of you had any of those kind of thoughts recently? Discouragement that causes you want to give up, and why am I doing this with God in the first place? Now, just here's what I want to say. I want to say this. The moment we stepped into the year, the Lord said, I'm going to release a spirit of my goodness over this year, and the devil's come to you and said, no, you're not going to get any of that. Why are you doing this? It's just like the devil to come and accept to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't even show up. He wants to take away what God would give you before He even gives it to you. He wants to cause you to come under something and come under doubt and unbelief and all this stuff, even before you ever get to it. I know because He's come to me. I'm no different. And the Lord says, I want to divinely give an encouraging warning so that you won't fall away from the things I want to pull off in your life. This was supposed to be a message of God doesn't do it through you until He does it in you. How many can get a little bit of that out of there? He wants to do something in you so He can do something in you. Now, let's lift. If you close your eyes and just lift your eyes, I want to pray with you, and then we'll dismiss the service and invite you to respond to the Lord. Wow, just lift your head, and just I see that the Lord wants to release the anointing of His goodness upon you. Would you lift your hearts, your heads, your hands? The Lord is, there's a precious ointment of His presence here, and He wants to affirm within you that He has good things in store and that He is indeed good. He is the good one. Goodness is moral uprightness. The Lord says, I want to have you stand within me, and I'm going to pour moral uprightness into your life. We'll just praise Him right now. Let's praise Him. There's a powerful, powerful presence of the Lord here. Just behold the Lord right now. Behold is in the mirror of the Lord, the glory of the Lord. And let Him do some transforming of your soul right now. Praise you, Jesus. He's releasing disappointments. Go ahead and let Him do it. There's been like mud caked up around somebody's heart. The Lord says, I want to wash this away from you right now. I want to remove stress. The stress from your life. I want to take it away. I want to take it away. I want to pour my goodness upon you and take away what's burdened your soul. You sense the breath of His life right here, right now, as I'm talking this way. Receive. Just go deeper in your own soul. Receive. Say, Jesus, I love you with your love. I love you back. I need you. I need you so much. I come to build an altar before you and say, I will be yours, all yours, not a part of me, all of me. Help me, Lord. Just tell Him, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. This goodness is going to continue to flow. The Lord showed us this, poured this out, and it's not going to stop. It's like a precious ointment that He's poured down, and He says, I want you to steward this, to hold it in. It cherish what I'm doing in your life. Let's praise Him some more. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You may need a physical healing. You may need an emotional healing. The Lord wants you to come forward and have those things addressed. All right? I release the service now.